Welcome to Kingdom Conversations. This is a special Cadence's Corner edition.
Woot woot! Cadence, give us a little shout out.
No.
So,
Cadence,
how have you enjoyed your summer so far?
Good.
Tell us a little bit about what you've been doing.
I went to summer camp.
So fun. Did you have any friends at summer camp with you?
Yes.
Tell us about it. Which friend?
My friend Casey.
How long have you and Casey been friends?
Since we were two.
Aw, that's so fun.
Went to the pool.
Ooh, have you been learning some swimming skills this summer?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, summer camp, pool. What else?
Kings Island.
Kings Island.
Kings Island is always fun.
And Soak City.
Soak City. Nice.
Which one's your favorite?
Which one's? Soak City?
Or Kings Island?
If it was Soak City, probably the wave pool.
Gotcha.
And Kings Island would probably be the Woodstock Express.
Hmm.
Nice. So what's your favorite? Woodstock Express or the wave pool?
Wave pool.
Wave pool. So Soak City is kind of your favorite?
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. What else did you do with Casey this summer?
We went to VBS.
What's VBS?
Vacation Bible School.
Ah, that's an acronym. Do you know the word acronym?
No.
An acronym is when you take a phrase like Vacation Bible School and just use the first letter of every word and call it VBS. Kind of like your school. What do you call your school?
MECC.
Yeah, that's an acronym for
Mason Early Childhood Center.
Nice.
Good job.
Sometimes I ask people what things stand for because they're like, LPQ. And I'm like, what's LPQ? And they're like, I don't know, but it's when you do blah, blah, blah. But I can't tell you what it stands for. Have you experienced that, Cadence?
Somehow I doubt it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. School.
Oh,
yeah.
School.
Did some of your classmates not know what MECC stood for?
No, they all know. Yeah.
I wanna go back to Vacation Bible School. We kind of like,
sorry,
barely hit that, and then we were off onto some other thing.
I was trying to. It's a learning moment.
I also went to Menchie's for some more.
Menchie's.
What's Menchie's?
It's a frozen yogurt place.
Minchie's is not a sponsor of this show.
Now I want frozen yogurt.
We have some in the freezer.
So what did you learn, or what did you guys do at Vacation Bible School?
We played games.
Fun. I love games.
And we did dances.
Mm.
Ooh, dances.
And we ate dinner.
Oh, that's always good.
And we also had pizza rolls for dinner.
Mmm. Is that the first time you had pizza rolls?
If we ate all our dinner, then we could get more pizza rolls. Two or one more pizza rolls.
Did you get more?
No.
No. Because you didn't eat all your dinner?
No, I ate all of it. I was just too full.
Oh, gotcha. How do you feel when you're at Vacation Bible School? Do you feel happy?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You guys looked pretty happy when you guys were doing your dances and your singing. What were your songs about?
God.
What about God? Were you guys like, God's cool?
We did a song called Joy. I don't really get the question, what did you sing about?
I meant you said you sang about God. And I was like, what about God? And then you're like, Joy. Is that because God gives you joy?
Yes.
Yeah. What is joy?
It's happiness.
What were other songs you guys sang?
I forget.
So what did they do towards the end of the Vacation Bible School?
Like a lot of fun games.
Did they ask you any questions?
No, they just really explained the game.
They just explained the game?
Then we played it.
Did they talk to you about Jesus?
Yes.
What did they say about Jesus?
I forget.
Hmm.
Did you fill out a card one night?
Yes.
Is this that card?
Yes.
Can you read it?
Yes.
Okay. What does it say?
What?
Is it response? Response card?
Uh-huh.
And then there were little things to check.
Uh-huh.
Which one did you check?
The two middle ones.
Yeah. What did they say?
I am ready right now. Please help. I'm ready right now. Please help me pray to invite Jesus to be by my Savior and Lord. I have some questions about inviting Jesus to be my Savior and Lord.
Nice. Do you remember what your questions were?
No.
What do you think it means to ask Jesus to be your Savior and Lord? What's a savior?
I forget.
Do you know what the word save means?
Yeah.
Can you put it in a sentence? Like, he saved me from falling down the tree by grabbing my arm.
I like to save my money.
When I'm like, do you want the rest of the spaghetti? And you're like, not right now, but save it for me.
Yeah.
What do you think it means when God saves us? Those are hard questions, huh?
They're important questions when it comes to Jesus, though. Do you know how sometimes you just want what you want when you want it?
Yes.
And you don't really care about what it means for mom or dad to have to give it to you. You just want it right now.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. It's okay. We all have that. We all have that sort of selfishness of wanting things to be our way and getting our way. But part of that, or what comes with that, is, or that is a symptom of the sin that Adam and Eve brought into this world. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So because of that sin that's in the world, we're kind of lost in that sin and in that selfishness. And what do people who are lost need?
Do they need help?
Yeah.
Do they need saving?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So Jesus being our Savior is Him saving us in our lost state of selfishness.
And it gives us joy. I can tell you're really thinking about it.
Do you have any questions about that?
No.
Do you ever remember a time when you felt lost or scared?
Yeah.
Like, tell us about it.
When I was little, I didn't like being in the dark.
Do you remember what I told you when I came up to your room?
No.
Did I tell you that Jesus was with you?
Yes.
You didn't have to be scared?
Yes.
Did that help?
Yes.
Yeah. So Jesus saves us and gives us joy, and He takes away our fear, helps us feel safe.
And that's what it means to be someone's savior. Someone who does that for another person would be called a savior. So do you understand what a savior is?
Yes.
Do you know what a Lord is?
Jesus.
Jesus is Lord. Okay, that's good. So do you know what a king is?
Yes.
What is a king?
I don't know how to explain it.
A king is a ruler. Someone who is the boss of a kingdom. An expanse of land, territory. Right?
Right.
That's why when you watch your princess movies and you see the castle, and then like all the land around the castle is the kingdom, right?
Right.
And the king's responsible. And the queen. For the kingdom.
I do want to ask you if you understand what it means to invite Jesus to be your Savior and Lord.
Yes.
You do understand it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, explain it to me.
That Savior is like a Savior is like save means like that, like you can save people and stuff.
Do you understand that you're a person that needs saving?
No.
No. See, that's a really big part of inviting Jesus to be your Savior, is knowing that you are someone that needs to be saved. We're all sinful. We all have the things in us that make us selfish, that make us not as kind as we possibly could be. Are you always as kind as you could be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Always?
Yes.
Even when you're like, gosh, Dad! Oh!
Yes.
No, I don't want to eat my vegetables! That's as kind as you could be? No, it's not. See, part of being ready to ask Jesus to be your Savior is recognizing in yourself that you need forgiveness and saving. Because if you don't think you need a Savior, or if you don't have any reason to be saved, then why do you need a Savior?
Do you want me to read you a little passage? There's a book called Romans, and they talk there about why we need to be saved, what it means. Do you want me to read it to you?
Yeah.
Okay. It's chapter 10. It says, "Brothers and sisters, with all my heart, I long for the people of Israel to be saved." Do you know what the people of Israel are? It's like in the Bible they talk about the chosen people that God chose to tell a story through. Those were the people of Israel. And then when Jesus came, he died for everybody. But the story started with the people of Israel. It says, "I pray to God for them. I can tell you for certain that they really want to serve God. But how are they trying to do it? How they are trying to do it is not based on knowledge. They didn't know that God's power makes people right with himself. They tried to get right with God on their own way. They didn't do it in God's way. Christ has fulfilled everything the law was meant to do. So now everyone who believes can be right with God." Did you notice something there where it said that people tried to do things their own way? Tried to just get right with God their own way, but God had a way that we should follow? It's an important part of the message, but you'll understand it better as you get older. Okay, it says, "Moses writes about how the law could help a person do what God requires. He writes, 'The person who does these things will live by them.' But the way to do what God requires must begin by having faith in him. Scripture says, 'Do not say in your heart, who will go up into heaven?' That means to go up into heaven and bring Christ down. And do not say, 'Who will go down to the grave?' That means to bring Christ up from the dead. But who does it say? But what does it say? The message is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That means the message about faith we are preaching. Say with your mouth, 'Jesus is Lord.' Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Then you will be saved. With your heart, you will believe and are made right with God. With your mouth, you say you believe, and you are saved. Scripture says, 'The one who believes in him will never be put to shame.' There is no difference between those who are Jews and those who are not. The same Lord is Lord of all. He richly blesses everyone who calls on him. Scripture says, 'Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.'"
Did you hear that? Was it confusing?
Kind of.
Yeah, Paul is confusing. He writes in a very weird way. It's true, but there is a part in there that she said where if you believe in your heart, Can you read that part again?
The message is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. Say with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved.
So in your heart, do you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead after the crucifixion?
What?
She might be too young for this conversation.
Crucifixion might be a new word for her.
Is crucifixion a new word for you?
Yeah.
Remember how Jesus died on the cross?
Yeah.
And then they put him in the tomb?
Yes.
And then God raised him from the dead?
Yes.
You believe that happened?
Yes.
Do you believe that Jesus is Lord, King of all?
Yes.
It says, say with your mouth, Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Oh, it's so sweet.
It's awesome.
It is.
Because there's lots of people on this earth that want to be lords. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people want to be Lord over their own life. But in here, it said that, earlier it said, we didn't know that God's power makes people right with himself. They try to get right with God in their own way. They didn't do it God's way. Sometimes we try to be in charge of ourselves, and then we realize that God has a better way. And it brings us joy, and it makes us happy. So when you're little and we go to the Sunday school, they try to teach you a lot about doing things God's way.
So that's what it means to invite Jesus to be your Savior and your Lord. You invite him to save you from the consequences of sin, and you invite him to be Lord over your life and for him to be in charge of your life, which means you sometimes have this dream to be a pop star, dancer, TV, YouTube princess, but maybe that's not what Jesus wants for your life. And you say, all right, Jesus, you're the Lord. Where would you have me go? What would you have me do? And you never know where he's going to take you.
He might take you to be a YouTuber.
He might.
Do you remember, like, ever saying a prayer to invite Jesus into your heart when you were a kid?
No.
No. Cadence, when you were at Vacation Bible School, did you say a prayer to invite Jesus into your heart? No. You forgot. You know what? When I was about your age, there's a verse in Revelations that talks about Jesus knocking at our hearts. Like he's knocking on a door. Like, hello, Cadence, let me in. And it says that he's knocking at our hearts and he wants to come in. Do you ever have like a friend or friends that come over and they knock at the door?
Yeah.
And they're like, I want to come in and play. Did you know that Jesus is knocking at our hearts and he wants to come in? But do you know something about when people knock? What's the difference between when somebody knocks and then if they just come right on in without knocking? When they knock, what has to happen? We got to go to the door and open it, right?
Right.
So when your friends come over and they're knocking, what do?
Go over to the door and open it.
Yeah, you're like, come in. I've been waiting for you. I want to play. I want to spend time with you. So can you imagine that Jesus is knocking at your heart?
No.
No? It's hard to imagine, huh? I think sometimes we talk about our heart because that's where we talk about where we have feelings, where we have love. So when Jesus is knocking at your heart, it means he wants to come in and love you. So when I was little, my mom would tell me about that verse where Jesus was knocking at my heart. And I was like, I want to let him in. Would you want to let Jesus into your heart if he was knocking at your door? Of your heart?
Yeah.
Well, you'd probably like run over and open the door, huh? Like you'd be excited. But for some reason, my mom said I couldn't say the prayer and let him into my heart until I was five. So when I was five, like on my birthday, I was like, all right, this is happening. And I said a prayer and invited Jesus into my heart. But she wanted to wait until I was five to make sure I understood what it meant. So that's, you're not a whole lot older, but it's a little hard to understand, don't you think? Was this conversation a little confusing?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I always liked that that image. Do you know what an image is? Like a picture in your mind sometimes. I liked that image where it was like Jesus was knocking at my heart and he wanted to come in. And I think that it's important to remember that he is knocking and waiting for you to invite him in, because he doesn't just come in. You have to invite him, kind of like a vampire.
What?
Come in like a what?
Sorry, I don't know. It just came. The analogy came up because, you know.
Come in like what?
So I just think that it's worth stopping and noting that Jesus doesn't just let himself in.
Do you think he could? Doesn't force his way in.
Do you think he could come in if he wanted to without your permission?
Yes.
Yeah. But it's nice that he waits for you to ask him, huh?
Pretty cool.
Because he wants you to invite him in. Is it more fun to go to somebody's house when you're invited?
Yes.
Yeah. Because if you're not invited, what might they say when you show up?
We're too busy?
I know. Do you sometimes... Sometimes people feel like they're too busy for Jesus. But he keeps knocking, and he's like, I'm waiting. So that's one way you can think about it when it's kind of confusing. Because some of the words in the Bible are big words. Did you find your favorite verse?
I found Adam and Eve.
Okay. Can you read it to us? I know some of the words are hard, so we can help you.
For here is the story of the heavens and the earth when they were created. The Lord God made the earth and the heavens.
Good job.
Five at the time.
Bushes.
Had not yet
appeared
on the earth, plants had not started to grow. The Lord God had not one to sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to form, and the land six, but streams came on from the earth. They watered the entire surface of the ground. Seven, then the Lord God formed a man. He made him out of the dust of the ground. God breathed the breath of life into him, and the man became a living person.
Thanks for reading for us. So, Cadence, if you had one message you could share with everybody listening to this podcast today about what you've learned about God and what you want others to know about God, what would it be?
God is always there for you.
Yeah, that's so sweet. That's a good one. What about you, Curtis?
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord. That's a good one, too. So to sum it all up, Jesus is standing there, knocking at your door, wanting to come in, spend time with you. And then he's always there for you when you need him, and he's the Lord. He's in charge of everything. He's a pretty awesome friend to have, isn't he? Someone that's in charge of everything, who has authority over everything. It's pretty good, huh? I think if Jesus was here, he'd be like, bam, what? Silas even came in to hear this. What do you have to say, Silas? What do you think? Say, bam.
Bam.
What?
What?
Yeah. Bam, what? Now say it, put it together.
Bam, Mary.
Yeah, that's good. Good job. All right. Cadence, your turn.
I don't think she could do it better than Silas.
Bam, what?
A little sniveling competition. Yeah. That's all it took. I don't know. I was pretty impressed. Cadence got it. She pulled it like she was holding back.
I know.
And then it just exploded.
Well, that's it. The headphones have come off. Day is done.
Any last words?
Yeah. Bam! What?
Goodbye, everybody. Have a joyful week, day, time. And check us out at Kingdom Conversations, kingdom-conversations.com. And then can you say amen? We always like to say amen at the end.
Amen.
You could just say amen.
Amen.